First came the cell phone video of the killing of Walter Wallace Jr., viewed more than a million times. Then, on November 4th, the Philadelphia Police Department released the official body cam footage of the shooting. It was undeniably disturbing. Videos like these have stoked awareness of the issues of police brutality and systemic racism. But watching videos of police killing Black men can also be traumatic, especially for Black and brown people. Why should we reconsider sharing videos of people being assaulted by police? And what can people who experience trauma while watching these videos do to help themselves heal? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Layla A. Jones of WHYY's Billy Penn wrote about the mental health effects of viral police videos. When I read her article about the trauma some Black folks experience when they watch those videos, I could relate because I'm one of them. So Layla, this was a long time ago, and I'm dating myself here, but I remember when I first watched a video of a police beating a Black man, and that was way back in 1991. The newspaper that I was working for at the time in San Jose, California, sent me to LA to cover the Rodney King trial.
The three police officers facing felony criminal charges were among a group of 15 who stopped a 25-year-old Black man last Saturday night, then beat him, kicked him, and clubbed him, unaware that an amateur photographer was recording the incident on videotape.
So because I had been assigned to cover that trial, I had to watch that video over and over again. Mm. And, you know, I had just had my son. He was a baby. And watching it made me really sad. I just remember, you know, almost being on the brink of tears. Mm. And it made me kind of sick to my stomach. And I just kept thinking, you know, what if that was my own son, and what is the future going to look like for him? And, you know, ever since then, I've tried to avoid watching those videos. I don't think I've ever watched another one.
Yeah, I don't watch those kinds of videos either. But in this instance, in the Walter Wallace Jr. police killing, I did have to watch that video for work, kind of mm-hmm. similarly to you.
Yeah.
And I did post for the story I worked on about police shooting videos. I posted a poll on Twitter and asked if people still watch the videos. Most people did say no, but a good amount of people said that it depends. So they kind of watch those videos on a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think people share those videos? I know that, you know, you had to watch it for work, but why do you think people share them in the first place?
I think people share them to prove that things that Black people and people of color have been saying are true. So those police videos, they bring attention to police violence against people of color, and they're proof. Like, you can't dispute video evidence a lot of times that shows exactly what happened.
These recordings do a lot of that work to counteract police narratives that suggest that Black people deserve to die.
So Crystal Strong is an organizer at Black Lives Matter Philly, and she said that she's seen these videos galvanize support.
If people hadn't seen the murder of Walter Wallace Jr., would we have the kind of support we're seeing for justice in his case? I don't think that we would.
You know, Layla, we've talked before on The Why about the issue of body cams and how not every police officer has one. And even if they do have one, they might not turn them on. Do videos taken by witnesses help show what happened in a case where there is no body camera footage?
Yeah, I definitely think they do show what happened. And sometimes even when there is body camera footage, it's not always released right away. The body camera footage from when Walter Wallace Jr. was shot by police wasn't released until more than a week after that shooting had occurred. initially after the shooting, police said that Walter Wallace Jr. was holding a knife and lunged at them. But the video shows that he was pretty far from the police officers, and it shows more of the full story, which was that there were a bunch of people outside asking them not to shoot. His mother was outside screaming, asking them not to shoot, and he was actually as far away from the officers as he was from his own mom when they shot him.
Do you think, just based on, you know, offering up videos as evidence, that some people need to see these videos more than other people who already know what's happening?
I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that. One activist I talked to, Deandra Jefferson, said she thinks that sharing these police killing videos was useful up until a point in the modern era. And now she said, basically, if you don't believe this is happening, then I don't know what to tell you. A lot of people I spoke with, in some way or another, they emphasize being intentional with the reason why you're sharing these images. So just before you click retweet or send them out, it's just like, why are you doing this? If it's already gone viral and everybody's already talking about it, then will you sharing these images be the best way for you to get involved in this conversation? Like, thinking twice before you post or retweet a potentially triggering image. And so I spoke with someone, a researcher in the UK named Dr. Pam Ramsden. Her studies have focused on mental health effects of watching these videos. So in her research, she found that when people viewed violent news events, about 20% of that group was profoundly affected, as she put it.
And of those 20%, about 1% of those will go on to have PTSD that's related to what they're viewing, if that makes sense. So it is a small number, but it's still relatively significant, because in the past we believed that PTSD could only be experienced by someone who was within the moment of the trauma. And now we're finding that's not true, that people can be affected vicariously.
Physically watching violent news videos puts your body in like a fight or flight response. And this is something that another psychologist I spoke to, Dr. Howard Stevenson at Penn, said, that when you watch these videos and you get into that fight or flight response, your body actually releases a stress hormone. If you keep watching these videos and keep seeing these images and thinking about it, it can cause chemical imbalances, because that fight or flight response is being released over and over again.
That's interesting. Are Black people more likely to experience this kind of trauma from watching these videos than white people are?
Yes, Dr. Stevenson said that that's kind of because the more you can place yourself in the position of the victim, the more likely you are to feel the negative effects from viewing a violent news event. And then Crystal Strong, the Black Lives Matter Philly organizer, says it's especially distressing to watch these videos when you know that it could have happened to someone you love, which is what you said, Annette, earlier about the Rodney King situation.
And, you know, Layla, that's exactly why I don't watch them, because, you know, I'm married to a Black man. I have a Black son. You know, I have Black nephews. It just hits too close to home. We'll be right back. This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking with Billy Penn reporter Layla A. Jones about how watching videos of police assaults, like the killing of Walter Wallace Jr., can be traumatic, especially for people of color. And she says that sometimes, thanks to social media, encountering these videos is just unavoidable.
Like on Twitter, for example, that app autoplays videos that are posted to your timeline unless you turn them off in your settings. So I just a little earlier tried to turn off autoplay in my settings, and it wasn't intuitive. So it was a little difficult, but there is a way to make it so that videos don't automatically play if they're posted on your timeline.
You know, I think that could help if maybe there's a warning that you can just scroll past or you can avoid it somehow.
Yeah, Instagram actually has a really good warning. It will completely blur out an image or a video, and there's a message across it that says sensitive content, or it provides a warning. And so you can't even see certain videos or images unless you decide to, and you have to manually do it, like tap the screen. Crystal Strong, she said that she thinks that the videos could keep being shared if every social network kind of adhered to a similar censorship process.
You know, a combination of the auto playback feature and also some kind of pop-up that masks it so that you don't even have to see the still image if you don't want to. I think those would be effective mechanisms.
You know, young people live their lives on social media, basically. And these images are so powerful, you know, that they get seared into the minds of young people, and it's almost numbing, you know, for them.
Yeah. When George Floyd was killed, I have like a little sister, and she's 16. And she just called me one day, and she was just kind of quiet, and we were just talking. And I knew she was upset about this, and I was mad because she's only 16. And then what she said that really broke my heart was she just randomly was like, we just learned about Emmett Till in school. So it's like they're learning about things in school that they think is history. And then they're being confronted with the fact that it's still going on today in their lifetimes and to people who look like them. So they live on the internet and see all these images, and it obviously it does affect them.
If someone does watch a police shooting video and feels traumatized by it, what are some of the ways that they can deal with that trauma?
This is what Dr. Stevenson from Penn is like all about. So he talked about something called the CLCBE strategy, which means calculate, locate, communicate, breathe, and exhale. So that's a strategy to combat when you begin to feel anxiety or get twitchy or hot or angry from watching these videos. It means calculate what you're feeling. So what feelings are you having? How many are there? And how intense are they from 1 to 10? Then he said locate where those feelings may have manifested in the body. So are your shoulders tense? Is your face scrunched up? Does your back hurt? Is your leg twitching? And then communicate with yourself by assessing any self-talk or memories that were triggered by a video. And then finally he said, breathe in for 4 seconds and exhale for 6 seconds. And he said he teaches that strategy to children as young as 5th graders, and they ultimately can do it within like 2 minutes.
Well, you know, I just breathed in for 4 seconds and next day I feel better. And,
yes.
You know, I just relaxed my shoulders because I realized that they were tense.
No, yeah. The breathing is the best part.
I've been feeling this way for a long time.
Oh, God.
With all this stuff going on, you know, mm-hmm. I probably have been walking around with my shoulders all tensed up. And
somebody
everything.
Just said that to me last night. Like, they literally said, your shoulders are, you're like a linebacker. Like, I'm holding stress in my shoulders and my face.
Layla, thank you for having this conversation with me. I think it's an important topic, and I really appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you for talking to me.
That was Billy Penn reporter Layla A. Jones. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Dern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd Circa, Buffy Gorilla, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Arielle Cohen. We had editing help on this episode from Danya Henninger. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk Tuesday.